Dave from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we're talking about Season 44, Episode 20, from May 11th, 2019. Emma Thompson hosting, Jonas Brothers musical guesting.
Yeah, Joe Bros.
Yeah.
And Emma Tom.
Mm-hmm.
E-Tom.
E-Tom.
E-Tom Tom Bien. Riffing is my forte, as you can see.
Wow. You went with the foreign language film about...
Right.
Isn't it like teenagers who have a threesome or something like that?
It is, yeah. It okay. is. I remember watching. It was pretty hot.
And that director went on to do the Harry Potter movies.
That's right. Because yeah. when you do a movie about Latinos three ways, you go straight to wizards.
Right. That's the natural progression.
The letter of the law.
It's... well,
this got weird.
this got off to a weird start.
This
yes,
got off to
I mean,
odd
but
start,
it's
yeah.
very apropos for us.
Yeah,
how you doing, Darren?
I'm all right. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out
That's
there.
That's right. This is airing the day after Mother's Day, but we're yeah. recording it on Mother's
right.
Day. We are neglecting our own mothers.
I'm gonna call her.
I'm gonna call my mother.
Yeah.
After we're done.
Feliz el día de madre.
But for now, we're neglecting them so we can bring
yes.
entertainment to you fine people.
Hope you're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Darren and I have actually seen a lot of each other this weekend. Yesterday we went to...
Some would say too much.
we are going to be feuding before the end of this episode.
Yeah.
We actually went to a wedding yesterday with our friends Matt and Amy. They
yeah,
got married.
Yeah, and, shout out to Matt and Amy. Beautiful wedding, lovely couple, and... Mm-hmm. You could see some of the pictures that John took on his Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It was like comic book themed and also dinosaur themed.
Yes, because Matt is really into Batman. Amy's really into dinosaurs.
Yes.
So that was dinosaurs and Batman.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
And they actually had someone in a dinosaur outfit, a dinosaur costume, wandering
right.
around mingling with the guests, and somebody dressed up as Lego Batman.
It makes you think why. Yeah, it makes you wonder why more people don't do this at weddings.
I want to see Batman in every wedding now. I am going to be disappointed at every wedding I go to that does not feature Batman in some fashion.
Any wedding, just like the royal wedding.
Pretty much, yeah.
Some fancy pants wedding with the fountain and what have you.
Right.
If there's no Batman there, is it really a wedding?
Exactly.
Right.
If Batman is not there to officiate, are you even married?
Yeah, he can officiate, right?
I'm sure.
Is he ordained?
I mean, he's an expert at everything else. I mean, why would he not be officiated?
Makes sense.
I don't think that's a word, but
oh yeah, dude, would imagine getting married by Batman.
That would be amazing.
That's something,
that would just,
something for you to think about.
That's life goals.
Oof. Oh my god,
life goals, squad goals.
Do you take this man to be your woman, to be your lawful woman and wife? By the power invested in me, State of Gotham.
That would just be fun.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
We have fun here.
Yep. let's see. We have a little news on the podcast front.
Yeah, podcast news.
We got a couple more reviews.
Right.
On the iTunes.
Yes, guys, send us reviews on the iTunes if you can.
And let's see. We got
easy as pie.
We got we got one from April 30th from Joko M.
Right.
Gives us 5 stars. Says, well, actually, the headline is too long for me to read. It's cut off, and I don't know how to read the whole thing. It says, making funny recaps, .. And I'm just going to be held in suspense what else
yeah.
that says. But the review says, Darren and John's funny and insightful take on of each SNL episode will leave a smile on your face. I often find myself laughing on the train ride home while listening to them.
Well,
thank you, Joko.
Thank you, Joko.
That's very nice, and that's one of our goals with the show is to have people like laugh spontaneously on the train home and
right.
have people think you're weird.
That's what if we can put our weirdness out into the world through
mm-hmm.
through the airwaves, then we can sleep better at night.
Yeah, if we just make strangers feel a little more uncomfortable around you,
yeah.
we feel we're doing our job.
We're doing the Lord's work here.
Mm-hmm. And then we had another one. Darren, do you want to read that one?
Sure. This one's by Usama Siddique. He says, funny. These guys are weird in the best way.
Mm.
Their chemistry is funny and genuine. Could listen to it all day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to record all day.
No, I could barely get through an hour with you.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Like, yeah. If, just listen to all our back episodes and all day. Don't.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah,
about
yeah. And that's by Usama Siddique, who's a hilarious New York comic. Go check him out. He's like very high energy, very quick talking, and he's a load of laughs.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And he also has a podcast too, because he's of Indian descent. He's Indian American. He has a podcast called Mango Bay.
Oh, great
and,
name.
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically about people who are of the South Asian diaspora who, you know, grew up in the States and immigrants and, you know, the issues they face and what they grew up with and stuff. So check out Mango Bay.
Cool stuff. Uh-huh. All right.
Absolutely.
So what else? Do we want to cover anything else, or do we want to just dive in?
Let's just dive into
this. Let's dive in. Okay.
This episode was,
You were,
I was,
Okay. I think I was more favorable than,
Really?
But let's find out. Let's unpack this.
I can't read you sometimes, man.
I got a great poker face.
You're just a maverick. You're all over the place.
So we got Emma Thompson, we got Jonas Brothers. And I apparently learned they are not the Jonas Brothers. They're just Jonas Brothers.
Oh, like Pixies?
Yeah. Or Eagles. They were just Eagles, not the Eagles. Everyone calls them the Eagles, but apparently they were just supposed to be Eagles.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Who did that? Is that a Henley move?
It seems like a Henley thing. Yeah.
Henley.
But yeah, no, I noticed when they were introduced, they were just introduced, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Jonas Brothers, not the Jonas Brothers.
Why do people do that? Just put the.
I don't know. What? It seems.
Well, you think you're special because you don't put a the?
I mean, you're too good for a definitive article.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what the hell, Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, get off your high horse.
What the hell, Nick and Joe and the other one?
I knew you didn't know it.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way he knows all three Jonas Brothers.
I looked them up on Wikipedia earlier today so I could be like halfway versed in the Jonas Brothers in Jonas Brothers, and I've already blanked on their names.
Yeah. I did look them up as well on Wikipedia. I didn't. Okay. Something I didn't know, from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jersey Strong.
Yeah.
They were in like from Wyckoff originally, and then they moved to Fort Lee, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So like northern New Jersey area. So
not far from us at all.
Nuh-uh. Stone's throw away. So Jonas Brothers, if you want to come in, do our podcast, you know, say hi to your mom while you're in the area.
Speak to some guys who are fairly ignorant about you and your careers.
Yes. Door is open.
Yes. I had no idea they'd actually like broken up for a while, or at least took a hiatus, and now they're back.
Yeah, oh, they're back.
They're back, baby.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah.
Oh, they're back. Oh, you don't think they're back?
They're back.
Oh, they're back.
They're back.
They're bad.
And they mean business.
Oh, wow, that sounds threatening.
All right.
SNL, right.
Let's we got the cold open. We had Meet the Press with Kyle Mooney as Chuck Todd. Beck as Mitch McConnell, Cecily Strong as Susan Collins, and Kate McKinnon as Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Adding yet another male guy in who's a big Trump supporter to her repertoire.
Yeah, she's got a whole thing of them now at this point.
And the joke here was, it was Chuck Todd asking all these big time Trump supporters, what would it take for Trump to actually lose your support? And he's giving them hypothetical scenarios where they comment on whether or not they would lose, or they would stop supporting Trump.
Yeah, like if he became like a Muslim or something like that.
Yeah, if Mueller testified that Trump colluded, if he converted to Judaism or became a Muslim, if he divorced Melania for Stormy Daniels or Kathy Griffin or AOC. or gave out your personal phone number, causing you to receive death threats. And Lindsey Graham's like, oh, I have to recuse myself because he actually did that to me. Yes, I know. I just wanted to make sure you remembered that.
Right. He actually did that?
Apparently so.
God, really?
I don't know if he did it maliciously. Knowing Trump, he probably just did it like ignorantly.
Yeah, that's the only way he does things.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
But if he did, I mean, good God.
I did like this. He's like, what if Trump open hand slaps you in the face? What would you say? And Lindsey Graham says, harder, daddy. So.
All right, that was funny.
Yeah, I thought this was all right. I do love it whenever Beck plays Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I think he's got a good, that's his thing.
He's got a great look for it. He brings out Mitch McConnell's malevolent turtle qualities.
Yeah.
And
there was that one point where he was eating like a piece of lettuce, like yes, like a turtle,
just nibbling on the lettuce. It's always fun when Kate plays a middle-aged dude. That's so in her wheelhouse, and I love it when Cecily plays like a middle-aged woman.
Yeah,
She's really good at that.
She's good at that, and she's good at Jeanine Pyro too. Mm-hmm. She's strong. She's a strong Cecily. Strong.
Yes, she lives up to her name. I see some crossover between her Susan Collins and her Jeanine Pyro, but I mean not in a bad way. But there's like a certain overlap in the Venn diagram of those two characters.
Interesting. All right.
But I enjoyed this. I thought this was fine.
That was all right.
Yet another in the continuing series of how do we comment on Trump without actually having Trump.
Yeah, wait, so is, like, I guess Alec is just kind of backing away from doing it? It seems like it.
It's like he's in one of every four episodes now, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good move to do, because, in this world, we are getting inundated with him. Like, I don't remember another president where we just literally heard about him doing something almost, but every day of the presidency. Like, every day you hear what he's up to. Every day he's like in your life some way. This is too much.
Yeah, Mark Maron had a great line. He said, I mean, he's like the most successful egotist ever because he really has made everything all about him.
I'm sighing at the truth of that.
It's so easy to get burned out by the guy. It's exhausting.
I can't even speak anymore. I can't think. I can't think. I can't talk.
All right. Well, then that's a prime time to move on to the Emma Thompson monologue.
Yay!
Where she comes out, she just bounds out lots of energy.
Yeah, she's game for this.
Is she? I mean, how can you just not love Emma Thompson? She's so cool.
She's bubbly and bright. She's
a delight.
Yeah. She's like a British Paul Rudd.
Yes. Yes. Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
She came out and she said she was very excited because she was working alongside her beloved husband of 16 years, Kenan Thompson. And then they cut to Kenan.
He does like the prayer hands.
Yeah. And he's like, I love you, baby. I'm ashamed to say it took me a moment longer to fully get that than I should have. At first, I was just like, "Oh, they say that she's married to Kenan. That's how delightfully random." And then, like a second later, I was like, "Oh, right, they have the same last name." Right.
Oh, I didn't even get that. Oh, yeah, I just got that just now.
Okay.
Holy shit. Okay. Wow. All right.
We are slow on the uptake here at the SNL Nerds.
We are. We never claim to be bright.
No.
We're not smart men, but we know what love is.
And we have Forrest Gump quotes ready at a moment's notice.
At the ready.
That's right.
Lieutenant
Janai. So because it was the Mother's Day show, she brought out two special guests, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, both SNL alums and mothers themselves.
Yeah.
And they did a bit where they translated from Mother Speak 101.
Right. They would say something like, you know, when your mother says something like, you look tired, that's her way of saying, you look bad.
Yes, and when you ask her what she wants to do for Mother's Day, she says, oh, I just want to relax. What she means is, where can I buy some weed?
That is relaxing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if your mom says something like, I love all my kids the same, what she really means is, your sister is winning.
Yes, and when she says, I love you just the way you are, she says, it means, I'm bored waiting for you to tell me you're gay. Just tell me so I can buy rainbow stuff. So,
That was a cute opening.
Yeah, it was cute, and it's always nice to see Tina and Amy.
Yeah.
Together. I was hoping they would come back in the show in some fashion.
I thought so too. I'm surprised they didn't.
You know, throw them an update.
Yeah, really with Amy and Tina.
Yeah,
really,
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 really.
You're not going to use Amy and Tina outside the monologue, really. But, I enjoyed this, and it made me get hyped for the show, which is what a good monologue is supposed to do, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, I also liked how Emma said that splendid is the British aloha, because it has so many multiple meanings.
Oh, because it goes splendid.
And,
that was my British impression.
That was wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. I learned, you know, you watch enough Monty Python, you learn a thing or two.
Yeah, that was Python-esque.
Oh.
Are you like a dying seal right now? What the hell?
As I was doing it, I was like, oh, this sounds like a dog who just hurt its leg. After I'm, all right. Oh, okay.
You're like a seal who just got harpooned.
That's how I hear British talk, all right? I don't know what to tell you. All okay. Right. Sorry, we all didn't study the Herald or Harold, whatever. We all didn't take improv 101 at the Pit. Thank right. you. Sorry.
All right, so let's move on to the first sketch.
Yes.
You want to describe this one? Or?
Yeah, this one is basically the royal christening. It plays off of the Meghan Markle just had her first baby
mm-hmm.
with Prince Harold, right?
I think it's just Prince Harry, isn't it?
Prince Harry.
Yeah, Harold? I think he goes by Harry.
Okay, oh. I had Harold on my. So yeah, so basically it's two other members of the royal family. They're talking to Meghan Markle's cousin, mm-hmm. played by Leslie Jones. And she said, oh, yeah, I want to be there for the christening. And then the two royal family members are saying, well, you need to go through the proper etiquette classes in order to, before you can attend the christening. And
yes.
then, of course, they have Emma Thompson come out and teach her proper ways to drink tea and whatnot. And so I thought it would go in like the sort of like Mary Poppins Taming of the Shrew direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's going that way. But as yeah. Emma is teaching Leslie how to properly stir tea, Leslie kind of does it wrong. And then Emma like violently slaps it out of her hand.
Yes.
And it kind of turns into this thing where she's like slapping Leslie and like, physically beating her.
Putting in her sleeper hold.
Sleeper hold and just not getting her... Yeah, just...
Yeah, and she at the end of the sketch, she shoves Leslie's face into clotted cream and breaks a chair over her.
Yeah.
This was fun. I enjoyed this. I liked the twist. Like you said, they were doing the Mary Poppins thing where she even had a song about how to stir your tea.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go that route, and then it just like kind of wiles out on her.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, all right.
And it was just fun playing up the juxtaposition between Leslie and Emma Thompson as the, if it's a proper British person.
Indeed.
And Leslie's going... Real ghetto.
yeah. That's kind of her wheelhouse.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was weird because like I saw it and I thought that too. But then like my wife watched it and she saw that she might, in her eyes, it was a little problematic just because it's like this white woman violently teaching this black woman how to behave correctly type of stuff. You could see it that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
I hadn't thought of it in that light, but.
Yeah, like
I can see where she's coming from.
Domesticate her in a way. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now that I look at it that way, I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess that's not great. But, I mean, other than that, I thought the sketch was. I'm surprised it was like the first sketch for the night.
I liked it. I thought the performances really elevated it.
Yeah.
I mean, like Emma Thompson really threw herself into it and it was like right in Leslie Jones's wheelhouse. So it was what she does best.
Right.
She's really good at reacting. Like what the hell did this crazy white person just do?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. But I mean, also Emma's like, throughout the rest of the show, we'll talk about it. Like she really kind of goes full into, like,
she had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It was great.
I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah,
like she's gung ho for this whole show.
Yeah, yeah, and it was great. She really did elevate a lot of the material, I think.
Absolutely. So the next sketch is the Perfect Mother
mm-hmm.
sketch, which was, it's basically another play on. They did this before when Amy Schumer hosted and Matt mm-hmm. Damon hosted. Excuse me.
I remember the Matt Damon one. I don't remember the Amy Schumer one.
It was, I think she just in the sketch she just had a kid in it or. It was like last Mother's Day when Amy Schumer hosted around that time. They basically did the same thing. But on this one, it's Heidi Gardner is like a mom. She's very frazzled by her children. And mm-hmm. then Emma Thompson plays Heidi Gardner's mom. And, they have a heart-to-heart talk. It's a pre-tape, too.
Yeah.
And they say, I don't know how you did it, Mom. You're a perfect mom. You did everything well.
And then it's intercut with...
Cut with flashbacks about how, when Emma Thompson was... had Heidi Gardner as a kid, she would like scream at her and not be the proper mom that Heidi remembers her to be.
Yeah. All the, and it's like a recurring thing. They've done this three times now, I guess. And it's just kind of about how your memory can play tricks on you and how we fool ourselves into thinking that the past was better than it was. Because you tend to remember the really good things about the past, and you don't you sort of overwrite the bad or the more problematic stuff.
Rose colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything was better in the 90s. All we had was Rocco's Modern Life and the Pogs and everything.
That's right.
That's all I remember about the
90s. That was all the 90s.
That was it.
That was it.
Yep.
That was the only thing.
Pogs, Rocco's Modern Life, and Living Color was all. We were living the high life back then.
Yep.
Could it be all so simple?
So I enjoyed this. I thought it was well played. It was funny.
It was like one of those sketches where it's more sweet than funny. But yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, cool. And it definitely leaned into the sentiment at the end. It was like they had a written thing at the end saying like, to all our mothers, we always thought you were perfect even when you weren't.
Right.
And you know that's a nice sentiment.
That's it's very nice. That's very sweet. And there's more Mother's Day. We'll talk about it later.
Yes.
Okay.
So next we had Cinema Classics on PBS, yes. Where...
Reese DeWatt!
Yes, where Keenan brings back his character Reese DeWatt, and he's screening the movie Always Be Sisters with Kate McKinnon and Emma Thompson as Hollywood rivals, who are they're both trying to get the last word in their scene, because they both have it written into their contracts, so that they're both trying to finish the scene, and it just sort of goes from there.
Yeah, pretty much. So... I mean, that's pretty much it. I can't really think of anything else to add. But it's like, you know, it's like a black and white movie, and it's like, all right, I guess that's it. That's the last thing to say. Yes, I suppose you're right. And then they just, like, both of them just kind of battling out to see who could say the final word.
Yeah, it was kind of like, who was it that Betty Davis had the rivalry with?
Joan Crawford?
Yeah. And they did that miniseries about them on FX, I think, with Susan Sarandon and... was it Jessica Lange playing the other one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's say yes.
I didn't watch that, but yes.
I didn't see it either.
Like those two hated each other.
That's what I'm. That's the word on the street.
So it was kind of like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This sketch was like, I don't know. Like once you see what it, you know, you get the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of goes on with that. There's no real twist in it.
Yeah,
so I was like,
you found it kind of predictable.
Yeah, a little bit. I did like at the very end though, where they go back to Reese DeWatt and he's like, he's reading. He had that discussion with his producer off camera.
See, I didn't like that.
What?
I didn't. I don't like the Reese DeWatt parts when they do the Cinema Classic sketches.
What?
I think it's extraneous. I think you know
the
it's
what?
Like, I think they're trying too hard to get. Well, let's give Keenan a bit, and it's. It usually has nothing to do with what the joke is in the movie.
That's why I liked it, because it didn't have anything to do with the sketch. I didn't quite like.
Okay.
But he's having a discussion with his producer off camera. He's like, what? Mm-hmm. What happened to Tony? Like, something was wrong with his cue cards or his index cards. Who wrote this? Tony? What happened to Mike? Oh, he did? He got arrested for drugs? Well, I don't know. Something like, it just kept on going on and on. And I think
that a little bit. I might have liked that more if it was like its own thing or something. You know?
All right.
In this sketch, I found it unnecessary.
Okay. But at the sketch as a whole, what do you think of it?
I thought it was all right.
All right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was amusing. I mean, Kate and Emma really threw themselves into it.
Yes, very much so.
I think they made it funnier than it would have been in two other performers' hands. So
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Well done. All right.
Okay.
There. Thumbs up.
Common ground.
Yeah. See?
All right.
We can do it, people. We can do it, America. We can find common ground.
That's right. So next we had another film segment, Chopped, with Melissa Villaseñor and Leslie as the contestants. It's a parody of the cooking reality show. Chopped is a real reality show, right?
Yeah. You don't watch Chopped?
I don't watch many reality shows at all.
Okay. But for those that don't know, Chopped is like a cooking... reality show, cooking competition show on Food Network. It's really popular. It's pretty big. Like, basically, they give all the contestants, like, four ingredients that, like, have nothing to do with go together, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, all right, make a dessert out of that.
Right.
So they'll give you, like, you know, gummy bears and, I don't know, Cool Whip and a eggplant or something. Be like, hey, make a dish out of that.
So it's like cooking improv, basically.
Yes, very much so. Yes, okay. And. So it's basically that, but it looked like the way they shot it and the graphics, it looks it's exactly like the TV show Chopped, which I thought was impressive.
Yeah.
But the sketches, they kind of just, It was just like a lot of absurd, bizarre things.
Gets very absurd. It was, we had Leslie said she was supposed to make an artichoke slider, but she instead just had a chicken in a hamburger bun.
All right. Oh, wait, no, wasn't a kitten in a burger bun?
Or? Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, it's a chicken.
No, I believe I said kitten.
All right.
It says kitten in my notes.
All right. Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm out of it today. I'm so
never
sorry.
Question me again, Patterson.
Oh dear.
Never question me again. And we had one of the judges who was like, oh, she was supposed to serve me a meal, but instead she served me divorce papers.
Yeah.
And now she has 50% of all my stuff. And they said, oh, but you got custody of her kid. Oh yes, but was it kid as in her child or kid as in a baby goat? Oh, it was a baby goat.
Yeah.
And they cut to
they cut to him holding a baby goat.
Yeah.
It was very like Python-esque. It was like
it was very absurd.
Very absurd.
I enjoyed the absurdity of it. I thought it was cool because I mean, when you get that absurd, you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, so. Like at one point, Melissa was she in her basket? She got loose sugar.
Yes,
just sugar, not in a bag or anything. It was just a
big
of
bowl
sugar.
Of sugar.
Yeah,
sugar.
And a horse penis,
and which is blurred out. It was like a
5-inch horse penis. Yeah, or, I mean, not even five, like. Well, however big horse penises are, I don't.
I don't know what the typical size of horse penis
is. I'm not.
Call in, folks.
Yes.
Tweet call at in us. With your horse penis stories.
Tweet at us. And and there was one point where they pointed out that Melissa. It looks like she didn't wash her hands, but she just went through the motions of washing her hands.
Yeah, she was just running her hands alongside the running water.
The running water. I was like, all right, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I dug this one just because it was just. The absurdity.
I enjoyed it. It was a quick thing. It got very ridiculous very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The randomness of it. It reminded me a little of like when they did the House Hunter sketch in the Liev Schreiber episode.
Yes, very much.
I mean, they were doing all the ranch houses and then they had the cool ranch dressing. And or the Hidden Valley Ranch. That was it.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, so you're right.
It wouldn't surprise me if this was from the same writers as that one.
Yeah.
It just had that same sort of absurdity to it.
Yeah, just a stack of odd things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But you laugh at the oddness, because odd is funny.
Yep, or it can be. Sometimes it can just be odd.
That's true. You know, I take that back. Sometimes odd could just be like...
I mean, we had the Holes music video last week. That was just odd, and that was not really funny.
I just blocked that out. Why would you do that?
I like to bring up your old traumas.
Why do you inflict pain on me, sir?
That's what I do. Next, we had Judge Court, which was all about three judges, Kate McKinnon, Emma Thompson, and Adie Bryant. They're all judging cases together, the three of them.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that show Hot Bench that's on daytime TV.
Mm. I don't think I know that show.
Yeah, it's literally the same thing. It's just like three different judges, and they're like, you know, judging people.
Are they all like sitting behind the bench together?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's called Hot Bench. It's a real thing. It sounds like I made it up. I swear to you, it's a real show.
I thought this sketch was more absurd than it actually is.
No.
This is, I thought this was like, we're taking this one step into absurdity. But nope.
Reality and absurdity are one and the same.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. I hurt you.
You did. We're inflicting all sorts of pain on this week's episode. but with all these judges, they came in last place in their law class, and they have dinner together every night. And this also got rather absurd. It had a Jonas Brothers cameo towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, towards the end of this sketch, they had, when I was watching, they had a test of the emergency broadcast services. So I initially missed the last few lines of this sketch.
I didn't have that.
Yeah. On my cable system, like suddenly it was like,
oh Lord!
But when I watched my tape this morning, it was fine. So that was just so. I guess I was recording the signal from NBC.
Okay,
but when it was broadcast, it was But I was just like, really? You couldn't wait to do that like a few hours?
No, they need to test it now.
Do it at 2 a.m. during first look when nobody's watching or cares.
Oh, I know the theme song, baby. That's right. That's what that was.
So, I don't know. Much else to say about this one?
No, they just had like a bunch of weird catchphrases like ding dong bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like kind of shouting odd things, you know, like, How good of friends they were. It is one of them. The one that got the big laugh was an 80 said, "Oh, when I was choking on a hard candy, she sucked it out of my ass."
Yeah,
I was like,
That seems like an inefficient way to go about it.
I mean, I'm no doctor, but yeah. I don't think that's how your body works. I don't know.
I mean, it's all connected.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It seems very time consuming.
Yeah. That's like the long way.
Yeah.
That's the scenic route. You want right. just go where you came from and go into the mouth.
Yeah.
You know.
Food for thought. Next, we had our musical guests, the Jonas Brothers.
Joe Bros. Or, excuse me,
Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Bros.
There's no the.
Yeah, they're just Jonas Brothers. Just put a V in front of it. What the hell,
Jonas Brothers? What's your deal?
You too good for a the?
Yeah.
Or a the? You're from Jersey. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Put a the. You highfalutin so-and-sos.
So they had a set piece with lots and lots of balloons.
A lot of balloons
all over.
Oh, my God. It was like a kid's birthday party over there. It was like Chuck E. Cheese.
It kind of was. They sang their new single, Sucker.
Oh, it's called Sucker? I thought it was called Cool.
Was that the second song?
I don't know. Or Burning Up?
I don't know.
It's all random words.
I don't know.
Okay. As far as pop goes, it's like, all right.
It was a catchy pop song.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that song before, but I didn't know it was them. But, like, I forget where. It sounds like a song that you'd hear in, like, a Target commercial or
They had a commercial during the show for this new reality competition show called...
Songland?
Yeah, something like that.
I almost said Southland. But yeah, Songland, something like that, where they're trying to find the next pop singer.
Yeah, the next big songwriter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have established pop stars saying, like, that's the new hit.
Yeah.
And
you're going to be a star, kid.
Yeah. Meow. Have a big cigar.
Yeah.
Give him the contract, Muggsy.
they have Muggsy and the Penguin from Batman as guests.
That would be great. I would watch a reality show where the Penguin was one of the judges.
Who wouldn't?
That would be fun.
Get him on the horn. Let's do this.
Let's have a reality show where we try to find the next great Batman villain.
Ooh.
And we have a board of like the Joker, the Penguin, and the Riddler. And they're all judging them on their evilness.
Oh my! Call the Sci-Fi Network right now.
Okay, I am registering this idea right now. This is going to be
that's right. Copyright 1997. What year is this? 2019. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Let's say that.
that how copyrights work? You just
this
say,
is my $1 million idea. This is my ticket out of this podunk podcast.
That's right. Wait, what?
What? I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
Yeah.
What? Okay. All right. We'll talk later.
Oh no.
But anyway.
But like, I get to be part of it though, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You said it in the microphone. It's legally binding.
Okay.
That's how the law works.
Right. No. Absolutely.
Why are your fingers crossed?
No. What?
Why are your fingers crossed?
No, they're not crossed. No. I mean...
now they're behind your back.
Yeah, but they're not crossed.
Oh, okay.
See?
All right.
See?
All right. Now I see. All right.
See? Oh,
you,
what, crap.
You, oh, God.
All right. We'll talk later.
Oh, man.
So, and their second number, it was like two songs, like, together, right? In a medley?
Oh, yeah. They did a medley,
because it was
like
a really long... thing. I don't know if that was like one of their old hits or
it might have been. Guys, we're old. We don't know these new hipster songs. These new jingle jangles that you kids like today.
No.
That's right. If it ain't the Monkees, we just don't care.
Exactly. That's right. That's pretty much the philosophy by which I live my life.
Darn tootin'.
If it's not the Monkees or Batman, I don't give a crap.
Just get it out.
That's yeah.
Just show it the door.
I found it surprising they didn't like change their outfits for the second song. You don't usually see a musical guest do that. Usually they have
like a costume change.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of common. But.
Yeah, maybe they forgot their other outfits or.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like maybe it's like no, let's wear the same outfit to show people we're still down to earth with our $1,000 leather jackets
with $1,000 red black outfits that no people on the street ever wear.
Exactly. I'm still the same old Joe. I wear the same jacket twice on two different performances on SNL.
And I'm the same old Nick, and I'm the same old other Jonas brother.
We should really look up the third guy.
Should we?
I'm going to say
I think it's something with an S.
Nick, Joe, Sam?
Let's see. Jonas.
Salvatore.
It's not Salvador.
Sergio.
There's some short.
Ramon.
Kevin Jonas, Joe Jonas, and Nick Jonas. It was Kevin.
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 I would have not gotten that.
Our apologies to Kevin.
Apologies, Kevin Jonas.
I will apologize to you in person if I ever figure out which Jonas brother you are.
Oh. You are just... Oh, just throwing out all the Jonas look, heat look, at man, these guys.
I'm a 46-year-old man. It'd be weird if I knew much of anything about the Jonas Brothers.
All right.
Okay?
That's very true. That, if you knew about the Jonas Brothers, I'd be like, what? Dude, why
that
do you
would
know,
be creepy.
Dude, why do you know so much about the Jonas
Brothers?
That
would
brothers?
Be creepy if I had like their poster on my wall. Was like,
framed.
Yeah. Signed.
Yeah. Because, I mean, just putting up with tape, that's for children.
Right.
You have
right.
to frame a poster.
That's I'm a grown-ass man. I frame my posters.
Thank you. We're, all right, where are we with this?
So that was the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, fine pop songs. They're
yeah,
right.
It was fine. I like the first number in particular. The second yeah. number, not much to say about it. I found that kind of forgettable. But
yeah.
The sucker number, it's a good pop song.
Yeah,
it's a good tune.
It's a kicky little number.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a great beat, and I could dance to it.
Yep.
The weekend update. I thought this, like, out of the whole show, I thought this was the strongest, like...
They were killing it on a weekend update tonight.
Woo!
Like their stuff was going over like gangbusters.
It was.
You know, Colin and Michael J had a really really good week.
Yeah, so really. This was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. They were talked about the news broke this week. A lot of Trump's tax documents from the 80s and 90s were released, and apparently he lost $1 billion. Dollars over the course of that decade. That's billion with a B.
Yee.
And then he wrote a book about how great he is at business, which is like if R. Kelly wrote a book about being great at babysitting.
Oh.
Too
soon or not soon enough?
Michael Che was concerned about the tariffs with China because he gets everything he needs from China.
Right.
Like his sneakers, his hoodies, his
beef and broccoli.
Rush Hour movies.
Yeah.
That was funny. It was a quick thing.
I know he's like, I think he said, oh, as a father of like 120 sneakers. It's
yes.
Because I do know he is a big sneakerhead. He loves a good pair of sneakers.
Apparently so, yes.
Yeah, those Nike Dunks, man, they don't come cheap.
They were some nice looking sneakers. I got to say that.
Yeah, yeah. And then he mentioned that thing about Trump Airlines going out of business. And
yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
And neither did Michael.
Yeah, so. It's like Trump Airlines was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently went out in the early
He's
90s.
He's had so many failed businesses, dude.
He really has.
It's unreal.
But he just keeps trucking along.
But it's, yeah.
And like,
I mean, like, Wile E. Coyote has a higher success rate than Donald Trump.
Right? Oh, God. I think I just stroked out. I'm sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
My brain just.
It's nuts. They also showed clips of Trump's speech in the Florida Panhandle, which is just insanity.
Oh my God!
And for characters, we had returning character Bailey Gismert,
yes.
The teen movie critic, played by Heidi Gardner.
She's good stuff.
I enjoy this character. It's just really well observed. Just all the mannerisms and the little nuances that Heidi puts in.
I like it because it's not like a caricature of a teenager. Like, she plays, I'm probably said this before, but, like, she plays on, like, she does everything a full-on teenager would do.
Yeah,
and you have
yeah.
to, like, that specificity.
I cannot say that word at all.
Specificity. God damn it. Specificness.
Yeah.
Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Same. It was very specific.
Yeah.
See, that word I can
God
say.
But
specificity, I
I'm
don't
sorry.
Know.
I didn't mean
that word taunts me.
Specificity. Specificity.
If you can say specificity, which I did not say correctly just now, please like send us an MP3 of you saying that word correctly, and we will like insert it in every time we attempt to say that word.
That's right. If you want to be part of this podcast, just send it in right now. You can be part.
We need the help. We will like study that, and that's we will right. learn it like Emma Thompson is about to slap the shit out of us if we get it wrong.
Oh wow!
So anyway, Bailey Gismert, she reviewed Aladdin, which is so random. Detective Pikachu is so lit, and she says at one point, Pikachu can get it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh.
So she apparently has a crush on Pikachu.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like him. Like, I like him, but I don't like him.
I mean, if you say something, he's going to hear.
That's
it was really good.
It's really good. I mean, Heidi is really coming into her own. Like, if
she's having a great season.
If she doesn't become like a full-on cast member by the next season, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I have to keep reminding myself that she's not.
I know, like,
so weird.
Like, she,
that's so random, right?
So random, like she's got to be a cast member next season.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, I'll lose my mind.
Okay, yeah, don't blow your brains out.
I'm not gonna do that.
Okay,
I almost said that, and I was like,
yeah,
God,
you stop for yourself.
I sound like a suicide threat. I shouldn't.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not gonna do that.
I'm not doing this podcast by myself.
I'll probably just tweet angrily.
There you go. That seems more rational.
Yeah.
We also had a couple New Jersey-based stories on Weekend Update. They said that Newark was listed as the worst airport, and it came in just below the Hudson River, and they showed the. Sully's plane landed on the Hudson River.
Jersey strong.
And we also had a story about the New Jersey state flag being changed to Tony Soprano curb stamping the Philly Fanatic.
Even which, Jersey, I think, could get behind that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jersey hates Philly.
Do you think the Newark airport is a bad airport? That's the one I usually take when I'm traveling.
I mean, I don't travel a lot by... I usually drive around, but like the few times I've flown, I've never used Newark Airport.
Oh, really? Where do you go?
I usually go to
JFK?
JFK.
LaGuardia?
Blown away. Yeah.
What else do you have to say?
There it goes. Yeah, I usually take the JFK or LaGuardia. I don't think I've used maybe once or twice.
I don't think I've ever flown out of LaGuardia. I had to pick up a friend at JFK once, and that was kind of a nightmare. JFK did not seem nice.
JFK is all right.
Yeah.
I haven't flown a lot.
Maybe I'm just very used to Newark. I take Newark at least once a year.
Really?
When I fly down to visit my my family.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So.
But yeah, is Newark that...
I don't think so. I've been to worse airports.
All right, there you go.
I don't know. I mean,
worst airport you've been to, or one of the.
I don't know. I don't have a.
Let's trash some airports right here, right now.
There was a small airport in Virginia that I was diverted to in like 2009. That didn't seem all that great.
Burn.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the name of the town was. Honestly, okay, but it was just like I had to sit there and wait for hours, and it was ugh.
Take that, random airport in Virginia.
Yeah.
You just got Trumbull.
You had it coming.
Yeah.
You were bad 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Yeah.
Let's see. Another joke I really liked. They said a porn star and her boyfriend had sex in a self-driving car, and amazingly, no one was rear-ended.
Hi-oh. Yes.
And lastly, we had Pete Davidson on Mother's Day talking about how his mom is now his roommate.
Yeah.
Because he bought a house and he and his mom are both living in. Because I'm not going to buy a house and not live in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not living in my mom's house. I bought a house with my mom, like a winner.
Yeah, but I thought that was sweet. I think, he does live with his mom and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet. And also, he brought his mom out, too.
Yeah, his mother, Amy Davison, came out. She's wearing a sweatshirt with caricatures of them on the front.
Yeah.
And they were saying John Hamm could be single and watching.
Right.
So, as you never know.
Yeah,
that was cute.
You never know.
It was cute.
All right. Oh, that'll come back into play at the end of the show.
What? Yeah. Ooh, foreshadowing.
Tease.
Teaser. Okay.
But yeah, I thought that was sweet. It's like,
all right. It was cute. You know, it's
bring
nice.
Out,
I mean, mom. Pete Davidson, he's having an interesting year. He's been engaged to Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
He's dated Kate Beckinsale, and he is living in a house with his mother.
Yeah.
That's, those
dream?
Three things cannot have ever been done by one person before. He's
breaking new ground. He's reaching for the stars.
Do you think he ever brought Kate Beckinsale over to his house that he shares with his mother and his sister?
Oh, I don't even want to think about that.
That would be interesting.
It could be.
I don't think he's still seeing Kate Beckinsale.
That relationship has ended, sadly enough. But, I'm sure he'll date another woman.
We got like one more week for another tabloid thing to happen to
Pete
Davidson. For the finale. We need a big... A thing to tie the year up into a bow.
Pete Davidson and Charlize Theron. I see that coming.
She's single. She's single.
Shoot your shot, Pete.
Yeah.
Make it happen. He probably... I just put that out in the ether. I bet, if that actually happens, if my words...
That's going to be weird.
It'll be so weird.
That's like a Twilight Zone episode in the making.
Oh, my God. That's
where, we predict absurd things to happen on this podcast, and then they start coming true.
Oh, shit. That would be...
And...
That's my new superpower.
That's right.
Wow. Maybe I could be on the Batman villain show.
Who knows? Yeah. Ooh. You could be the predictor.
Ooh, predictor. I like that. It's like a dead zone type of thing, but with a microphone and a podcast.
We're having so many good ideas, you guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're just an idea
so
factory.
So many good ideas.
So many.
So next we had the live-action Beauty and the Beast with Cicely and Beck as Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And Emma Thompson as Mrs. Potts. This was very strange.
Very strange.
Very strange.
All right, thank God. I'm not the only one that thought this.
This seemed like something they wrote at like 2 or 3 in the morning when they were like really stoned.
It was like a fever dream.
Yeah. We had the Beast talking about hitting the gym. He's like built a gym at the bottom of the castle, and then the exercise equipment, who's also under the curse of the Beast.
Right.
They come up and they have weird things. They're saying like, oh, you have posters of Britney Spears when she was 17.
Yeah.
And they sing the workout song.
Which is the 50 Cent candy shop.
Yeah.
Take you to the candy shop. It's a catchy song.
And then we have Pete Davidson as Mrs. Potts' son, Chafe, who is a teacup with hair. So we find out that the Beast got very lonely one night and made it with Mrs. Potts, and they had a kid.
I don't.
So it's very strange. Like I said, I did like. There was a line that Cicely had at the very end where she just says, "I can't believe I fell for my kidnapper again."
All right, yeah, that was funny.
I love the concept that this is a recurring pattern in Belle's life. That was very funny.
Yeah, but I mean, like the whole exercise equipment, and one time, also, a shake weight came out.
He also
had a shake weight.
This was very weird. It just went in a lot of different directions.
Very weird. And just kind of... I mean, but then again, like, I mean, the Chopped sketch was weird, too, but it was weird.
It was a better kind of weird.
Yeah, it was, like, weird, but it kind of kept in the confines of the sketch. Like, it was more absurd.
Right.
It was more absurd than weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say that. This was more weird than absurd.
Yeah. And more weird than funny, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I was going to say that,
it
too.
Was, I mean, but again, like, Emma in particular threw herself into it. They were singing the Beauty and the Beast song. They're doing, I mean, they were selling the hell out of this sketch.
Emma Thompson was game this whole episode. Mm-hmm. But this, the,
very strong host.
Yeah, but the material was like, I don't know. It was,
So what do we have next?
Next we have Tracy.
Tracy.
Millennials Gone Bad.
All right.
It's like a kind of like a Ricky Lake type of talk show.
Or Sally Jesse Raphael.
Sally Jesse Raphael, Montel Williams.
Yeah.
Remember them things from the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, along with the...
along with Pogs and Rocko's Modern Life.
Right.
90s was a big year for me.
Sure.
And basically what happens is Kate McKinnon's the host of the show, Tracy. Kenan Thompson is the father who... has the teenage daughter who...
Ray Ray,
who...
You don't know me.
Exactly.
Don't know me.
Very much that.
You don't know me. She's like a teen who's out of control, and she keeps coming out and saying, you don't know me. And then they're taking questions from the audience, and it turns out all the audience members do, in fact, know her very well.
Right.
Because they're making very astute guesses as to...
Yeah, you're probably like me. You have such and such and so and so.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, you do know me.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
they brought Emma Thompson out as Dr. Jill towards the end.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, she's not, they don't call her Dr. Jill because they call her Dr. Jill, but she's not an actual doctor. She just, like, plays in a funk band. I think she said something like that.
I'd forgotten that.
It was something like that. And, they had a little exchange and, like, Dr. Jill says, oh, I actually do know you. I met you in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember
that. I would talk to you and then you gave me this. You know, this locket that says...
Oh, yeah, and they had best friends forever.
Yeah, and I'm actually here to get the money that you owe me for crashing to my car or something like that.
Yeah, I thought this was okay. I feel like somehow they could have taken this a little further, maybe.
Yeah, it just didn't... It looked like it was going to lead up to something bigger, but it didn't.
Yeah, it needed a bigger finish.
It just
kind of ended.
Yeah, it was kind of like all lead up, but no...
Payoff.
No crescendo.
Yes.
As they say.
Yes.
I could say crescendo.
Yeah. You did a very nice job.
Not specificity. God damn it. Specificity. I should have walked away from that.
Quit while you're ahead.
I should have. No one to hold them. No one to fold them. Gah.
All right. But then we're barreling into our last sketch of the night.
Yeah.
Wait a second. That shouldn't be there. Talking about continuity errors in films. Because a big viral story this week was in the last episode of Game of Thrones, a Starbucks cup accidentally ended up in the shot.
Right.
Which kind of breaks the whole
spell
of,
of
this medieval fantasy world.
Yeah, when you see like a venti cup there.
I mean, Starbucks is everywhere, so I mean, it could be in Westeros.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Who knows?
But yeah, so they showed other examples. They had the Roots remake, and in the background there's a White Castle Crave case, and then it cuts back to Aego's character, and she's drinking from a big gulp.
Right.
Did they actually remake Roots?
Yes, they did. Okay. I think it was on, but it was like straight to TV. It was I forget where it was on, but
Okay. Yeah, that sounded vaguely familiar, and I was like, I couldn't remember if they for sure if they'd remade Roots.
No, they
or
did.
Not.
I'll look it up.
Okay,
but yeah, like I remember like when they that thing happened with the cup and the Game of Thrones. Part of me was thinking, oh, maybe SNL will do a play on that, and then I thought, well, I mean, the easiest thing to do would just be like show other, you know, time movies from, you know, time periods but like modern day things in them. But like, I was like, oh, but you know, SNL wouldn't do that. They'll be do something more clever. And sure enough, they did exactly.
They did it last sketch of the night.
They did the very first thing I thought they'd do. So, I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought it was all right. It is kind of easy material, but
yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Damn it was funny. I mean, we had Shakespeare in Love. You have William Shakespeare eating Sun Chips. And then they cut back to him. There's an NSYNC poster behind him.
And then
he's like, oh, that's a great idea. Let me write that down. And he opens up his laptop and you hear the boom. And then we had Downton Abbey, where one of the characters is wearing the 2017 sunglasses. And Dame Maggie Smith gets a pizza delivery in the middle of the scene.
In the middle of it, yeah.
It was cute.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a quick thing. It was at the very end of the night. They didn't try to make it more than it was. I was fine with it.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was what it was.
If this was at the top of the show, it might have seemed a little too slight, but...
Oh, yeah. If that came on the top of the show, I'd be like, oof.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the night, it's just the sort of thing you want to...
Yeah.
To wash down the meal of the SNL you just watched.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Yeah. So, there was a Roots remake in 2016 that aired on the History Channel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
But, yeah. And, and at the end, when they said their big goodbyes... the John Hamm comes back because John Hamm was...
Arm in arm
with
Amy Davidson, which is very cute.
Pete looks like Pete's going to have a new dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, John Hamm was there just hanging out, being all hammy.
As he does.
And
he's just making sure that all the bathrooms are filled with John Hamm's John Hamm.
Oh, my God. I could talk about that sketch all day.
Oh, I love that sketch. And then I'm sure they had the after party at Hamm and Bubbly.
Hamm and Bubbly. he keeps calling him... Michael Bubbly.
Yep.
It's pronounced Bublé.
Yeah, but that doesn't work with the name of the restaurant, does it? Oh, John Hamm is so good.
He is.
I want him to host again.
Oh, my. Why hasn't he hosted yet?
Maybe just not something to plug or...
So just do it.
I mean, maybe he's just too busy romancing Pete Davidson's mother.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's true. You got...
John Hamm's a busy guy. He's in demand.
Yeah, he is. But he could do it. Matt Damon didn't have anything to host when he hosted... In December.
That's true.
Ham do it.
Yeah.
Go ham.
Well, you know, he is buddies with Paul Rudd too, so maybe he'll pop up next
week.
Who knows?
That's right. They're both like St. Louis bros or something.
Are they?
I believe so.
Okay. That's cool.
I
thought they were like college buddies or something, but.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Huh. I know
they knew each other when they were like both struggling actors. And
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll have Ham and Rudd? In the same episode?
God, can our brains contain that much awesomeness?
Ay, caramba, that's gonna, oof. Ay, chihuahua.
So next week we got the season finale of SNL with Paul Rudd and musical guest DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
Khaled.
I'm not
pronouncing that correctly.
No, Khaled was the other guy.
Khaled.
This is DJ Khaled, yeah.
Khaled, because it's an ED. Okay.
Right. DJ Khaled, he the best. As the kids say.
So so we're looking forward to this one.
Yeah, very much so. And should we go ahead and say who we're going to have for the...
We're going to have a special episode next week.
It's very special. We're going to have our very first guest here.
Mm-hmm,
so it won't be just me and John yammering and yammering away.
Yeah, we're going to bring in our friend John Murray from the SNL After Party podcast.
Woo!
You can find them on Twitter. Their handle is at SNL Podcast.
Right.
They got, that's a nice Twitter handle to get. He got in early, I think.
Yeah, he got the goods.
But yeah, they have a show that's, well, very much like this one, where they just go through the show sketch by sketch, and they talk about what they think about it.
But they're a little bit more, I mean, we're a little bit more conversational, but they're like very more...
They're more structured.
More structured. That's the word. They're more like fancy pants and more, you know, structured. That's the word. That's a terminology for it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, if you like SNL, but you like it more structured, I can't think of another word besides structured.
Okay.
If you like a more structured breakdown of SNL, give a SNL after party.
Yeah, I don't know. Give them a try. It's a good podcast. Yeah. We're buddies with them. We're buddies with them on Twitter.
Absolutely.
We haven't met John in person yet. He's in the area. Saw this show. He got in the standby line.
Yeah, but no, he got tickets for this one.
Okay, yeah.
So he'll probably talk about that. And
he's going to be trying to see the show next week as well. And we're going to get together with him on Sunday, and we're
maybe he'll get into the SNL after party.
Yeah,
he'll be hobnobbing with the SNL elite.
Ooh, that might be interesting. Yeah,
maybe. So maybe he'll see Cecily Strong, and maybe we can be like, what was that like?
Slip her our number. And,
that's how sparks fly.
Yeah. So that's gonna be fun. We're looking forward to that.
It's gonna be great.
So it'll be a fun little crossover episode.
It's gonna be a real humdinger.
Yep.
All right. So I guess that's our episode. Anything to plug? Anything to promote?
Let's see. I do have something to plug. I've got a new issue of Back Issue Magazine. Issue 113 is going to be out very soon. Mm. It's all about Batman because Batman or the monkeys.
If
it's not one of those two things, I'm not interested. So this issue is fortunately all about Batman, the 30th anniversary of the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman movie from 1989.
Whoa.
And I wrote an article about the comic book adaptation of that. So I talked to Denny O'Neill and Jerry Ordway, who did a bang-up job on that adaptation.
Oh, far out, man.
So,
far out.
And so that'll be in comic stores and a few bookstores as well very soon.
Ooh.
So, yes.
Wow, Johnny T is all over the joint.
And next weekend I am at the East Coast Comic Con in the New Jersey Meadowlands, and I'm going to be moderating a couple panels there. One about Tales of the Kubert School, the art school where I went to in Dover, New Jersey.
But Kubert, you said?
Kubert. Joe Kubert is a big time comic book artist.
I really thought you were talking about the video game.
Not the video game, Kubert.
Okay, all right.
But it pronounced pretty much the same.
Okay, all right.
And I'm also doing a big panel with lots of people from Batman the Animated Series. We've got Kevin Conroy, Batman his own self, Lauren Lester, Robin, Diane Pershing, Poison Ivy, John Glover, who was the Riddler, and you might also remember from Smallville playing Lionel Luthor. Ooh. And Andre Romano, the voice director, and Kevin Altieri, one of the episode directors.
Wow. So the murderer's row.
That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So come on out. Just go to eastcoastcomiccon.com, I believe, is the website, and you can figure that out. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Trumbull Comic.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Darren Credible, Darin Credible. I still have that show coming up in Morristown, New Jersey. Double Platinum Comedy, hosted by Ritu Chandra and Rich McDonald, at the South Street Social this Thursday, May 16th, 7:30.
Nice.
So I think you can get tickets on Eventbrite for $5. And come check out your boy.
Nice.
Make some jokes and some comedy happen.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for this week. We're going to be back next week with Paul Rudd and DJ Khaled.
You're the best.
All right. So until then.
Catch you later, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.